now.
I don't know who he is behind that mask of his, but I do know when we need him. We need him now.
I'll call him, sir.
For some reason, the cool bars in Hollywood have to be hard to find and have to have no sign.
This is the Cocktail Nation.
Well, an exciting week this week. We start off with our Eurospy special, I Spy with my Eurospy eye. And this is an exciting time because we've got so many great Eurospy flicks to talk about over the coming year. So we'll kick it off this week with my good friend and former neighbour, Kramer, who's stopping by to talk Eurospies. And, of course, the most logical place to start off with, of course, is Bond. I've also got a great album for the holidays for you to grab as well, and a cool new website to dig, along with the best parties across the globe and the best lounge and exotica, as dug up from across the globe as we mine for the very best. And this time, Alex and Alicia, a new song called Morning on the Cocktail Nation.
What of a morning that brings a day so gently and bathes the leaves of memories that fell so long ago? I still recall you in all these early hours, though I were there. More to share, a love lost long ago. Crassness of youth, concluding only half of the truth, exuding only one small percent of what I surely felt for you. And then one morning that brought a day so gently, we set apart things of the heart and the love lost long ago.
Yeah.
the Cocktail Nation. Thanks to Ultraswank.net.
My analyst told me that I was right out of my head the way he described it. He said I'd be better dead than alive. I didn't listen to his jive. I knew all along he was all wrong, and I knew that he thought I was crazy, but I'm not. Oh no. My analyst told me that I was right out of my head. He said I need treatment, but I'm not that easily led. He said I was the kind that was most inclined, went out of his sight to be out of my mind. And he said I was nuts, no more ifs or ands or buts. You see, as a child I appeared a little bit wild with all my crazy ideas, but I knew what was happening. I knew I was a genius. It's so strange when you know that you're a wizard at three. I knew that this was meant to be. Now I heard little children are supposed to sleep tight. That's why I got into the vodka one night. My parents got frantic, didn't know what to do, but I saw some crazy scenes before I came through. Now, do you think I was crazy? I may have been only three, but I was swinging. Then after A. Graham Bell, then after Edison, also an Einstein. So why should I feel sorry if I just couldn't understand the idiomatic logic that went on in my head? I had a brain that was insane. Oh, they used to laugh at me when I refused to ride on all those double-decker buses, only because there was no driver on the top. That's right, no driver on the top. Nothing wrong with that, really. That I was right out of my head. But I said, dear doctor, I think it's you instead, because I've got a thing that's unique and new. To prove it, I will have the last laugh on you, because instead of one head, I've got two. And you know two heads are better than one.
Cocktail Nation with L'Angelo de Coop Cooper and new music there from Anna Salaya. This week we kick off our Eurospy monthly special with Kramer.
I spy with my Eurospy.
What do you make of it, Jerry?
I don't know, it's interesting.
Hello.
Is this the American Embassy?
Yes. Are you making an official call?
Are you joking, sir?
No, I'm not. The single shot kills at 10 yards. Use the one shot wisely.
3807, what are your requirements, please? Credentials for typewriter salesman, one roll microfilm, 10 type explosive.
Kramer, it is good to have you on the show.
Hello, I'm not a spy, but I am spying. I'm spying on you, Coop. I can see it through the keyhole of the door. Spit that girl out.
Now, we are going to be talking about a whole bunch of Euro spies. And it's, you know what's funny is that there are so many spies that are Euro spies. In fact, if anything, more spies in TV and movie
and
were
of course the one,
European.
Yeah. There are things that a spy needs, Coop.
Yeah.
He needs to be a spy.
Mm-hmm.
He needs a girl.
Yep.
He needs a cool car. He needs gadgets. And he needs a goddamn great theme.
Yes.
That's what he needs. Forget everything else. The theme has to work. If there's no theme, forget it.
Yeah.
No. Not going to get anywhere.
And we're going to be playing a whole bunch of themes in this particular segment month by month. Let's start off, though, I think, with Bond, because that's probably the most logical place to start.
And that was also the one that kicked off the spy craze of the 1960s. Now, as everybody knows, they started off as books. Wasn't a comic strip, wasn't a cartoon series. They started off as books. Now, what happened was the first book, Casino Royale, that was released in America wasn't doing anything. So Ian Fleming was paid $1,000 for the television rights. As you know, it became a TV program in very late 1954 was actually broadcast on a show called Climax Mystery Theatre. Anybody remember that? It was on October the 21st, 1954. Now, you've got to remember, this was a live television broadcast, which is why the program looks the way that it does. The only reason it survives today is because somebody at the network was given all these tapes that, okay, wipe them. He saw Casino Royale, was a Bond fan, and put it aside, went back and had a look, and he said, I got to keep this, and that's why it survives today. If you want to find out what it looks like, it's a special feature on the 1967 version of Casino Royale. The quality's not great. Remember, it was mid-50s, live television, so there's ghosting, there's a lot of noise. If you listen to it really carefully, sets fall over, they flood their lines. You know, this is classic live American TV. It's interesting, Barry Nelson, who was an American, was the first person to play Bond. Believe it or not. Now,
really?
The next person was a South African actor named Bob Holmes. It was on a radio broadcast, and it was Moonraker, and it was broadcast live, so there's no version of it exists.
That's incredible.
So you're going to have to believe me on that one, Coop. The next person to play Bond, as we know, was Sean Connery.
Yeah.
The role was offered to Cary Grant, as most people probably know, but he turned it down. He was just too old. Mm. Now, Connery gets the role, does the movie. The person at the beginning of the film with the famous gun barrel actually isn't Sean Connery. It's a stunt guy called Bob Simons. He was in the first two movies doing that, so maybe he was the first person to appear on film as Bond, but not necessarily the first person to play him. I'm sure that was done later. When they got to Goldfinger, that's when you see Sean Connery doing that. Now, interestingly enough, the Bond movie Dr. No premiered on October the 5th, 1962, and as most people will probably know, Ian Fleming was there. He hated it. But, as you also know, the role was offered to Roger Moore, who couldn't do it because he was doing the Saint TV series, which premiered on October the 4th, the day before. Now, he was offered the role again, but was still doing television and couldn't do it. As you know, he was offered the role in 1973, and the rest is history. Now, after Sean Connery, of course, he left after a couple of films, but in 1964... Roger Moore got to play James Bond in a seven-minute sketch on a British comedy TV show. Another person who played Bond in the same year was Cliff Richard.
Really?
Cliff Richard had a movie released that year called Wonderful Life. The movie's awful. But there's a small montage in the film where he does like a history of famous characters. So it starts off with Chaplin's The Tramp, and it ends with Bond. Think about it. Cliff Richard as James Bond. He could have sung his way out of the situation.
I'm so
glad. Why wasn't Cliff Richard ever offered a Bond song? Think about it. Would have been really interesting. He could have gone on a summer holiday with Bond. Oh, God, help us all. Now, of course, the next person to play Bond was David Niven in the spoof Casino Royale, along with Terence Cooper, Woody Allen, Joanna Petit, Delilah Levy, Peter Sellers, and Ursula Andress. If you've seen the movie, you'll understand the plot there. And then, of course, Connery left because he just got sick of it. So, well, they wanted a new Bond. George Lazenby, as it turned out, was the highest paid model in the world. So for some reason, he got the job. Now, if anybody's seen On Her Majesty's Secret Service, there's the fight scene on the beach and he gets up and he says, well, this never happened to the other guy. Yeah, then they go into the theme. Of course, because of utter stupidity, and his agent said, hold off for more money, which was a dumb thing to do. He ended up not getting the next role, so Connery came back, got X amount of money, got percentage of the film, with the last stuff, I'd have had enough. So then they got Roger Moore in 1973. Also in 1973, a British actor called Christopher Cazenove, he played Bond in a BBC production called Omnibus, The British Hero. So somewhere within the program, Bond was mentioned, and he did a couple of Bond things, so... He was the next actor to play it. And we all know the rest of the history of Bond.
Yeah.
So, but they're the first couple. And a lot of those, most people don't even know, especially the one in 1956, which was the South African broadcast. Most people don't even know that existed.
That's incredible.
Or that was actually done. If anybody's got a copy of it, it's one of the rarest things you'll ever hear. I'd actually like to hear it just to see what they did with it.
Kramer with our Eurospy special, James Bond theme now. John Barry on the Cocteau Nation.
delightful, will you?
Molly Perry, a feast for my eyes.
What about the rest of you?
Bond. James Bond.
My name's Bond. James Bond.
Shaken, but not stirred.
Can't breathe.
Everything checks out rosy, but a bulletproof vest under a tuxedo, my tailor'd never okay that.
We'll be right back.
Indoctrination with Coop Cooper and Al Caiola there with Underwater Chase. There's some great websites from across the globe that I'm often scanning for preparation for the Coctonation. And one I came across this week, which I just love, it's called vintagenews.com. It's quite a broad website as far as some of the content that they've got on there. And I wouldn't say it specifically appeals to either men or specifically women. It's quite a broad range website coming out of the UK. So do check it out. Here's the website you need. It's www.thevintagenews.com. They've got news, fashion, interiors, lifestyle, glamour, and strangeness. And it pretty much goes from, from the 40s right through to the 70s is pretty much how they cover things. And a bit of the modern retro culture as well, movies and whatnot, and interesting finds. It's really quite fantastic, so do sign up today, thevintagenews.com. And here's Dizzy Gillespie with Cocktails for Two on the Cocktonation.
Aloha. This is Lou Floyd from Don Kiki here in Honolulu, listening to the Cocktail Nation with the incredible Coop Cooper.
Ground control searched for perfection in two for this critical outer space probe. They tested, selected, it's me and it's you orbiting over the globe. But procedure produced forbidden fruits from all this compatibility. And I have a suggestion that perfectly suits our situation to a T. So, partner, may I suggest the following procedure? You just push that button right there.
That's right, right there. You got it.
Let loose the brakes and we'll break free. We'll reach escape velocity. Let's seize the day, get away to the other side of the moon. Side of the moon. We'll settle sooner or later in a cradle, I know, so snug in our igloo bungalow. Silvery moon does the glitter.
Detonation with Don Tickey and Other Side of the Moon. It's all thanks to ultraswank.net. And some good news for the holidays. Seth MacFarlane has released a new album following up on The Music Is Much Better Than Words album that he did last year. This new album is called Holiday for Swing, which you can order on Amazon right now. A little while back, I wrote a blog about Seth, actually. And I've always thought that he's a very, very talented guy. Of course, he's the guy behind Family Guy in that movie Ted. You know, he's a very witty guy. He understands Hollywood. He understands popular culture today, and he understands popular culture from the past. I just kind of wish he wouldn't be as smutty as he normally is, because I think that he's a very talented guy. But you know what? The most important thing is that his music is just fantastic, and The Music Is Much Better Than Words album is just superb. This guy's got a great voice. And Holiday for Swing, well, I think you're going to enjoy that one for the holidays. So do check it out over on Amazon. It's available right now to order. Time for a look at the water swing now, thanks to pastimealbumclocks.com. Coming up December 4, in person, Buddy Greco with the Martini Kings weekend at Sinatras.com. Jack Crosley's Lost World over at Otto's Shrunken Head, second Tuesday of every month. Otto's Grotto on a Thursday with DJ Otto at Forbidden Island Alameda. And November 3, the Friars Club, a tribute to Sid Caesar. These gigs and lots more online, CocktailNation.net, as we get back into the music right now. Vince Guaraldi, Mr. Lucky, on the Cocktail Nation.
We'll be right back. Felix, how are you? Dink, meet Felix Leiter.
Hello.
Felix, say hello to Dink.
Hi, Dink.
Dink, say goodbye to Felix. Man talk.
For Cocktail Nation.
It's late, I'm gone. Dark before the dawn. Heavy eyes, beating heart, pensive mind. I drive alone, quarter still unknown, every breath like a measure of time. Impartial night, there's no wrong or right, silent still in the shade of the moon. Stand still as you open the door.
Ba-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-
for your bum, my love, lay. Lum on the day, sub on the day, bum, bum, day, 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 impartial night. There's no wrong or right. Silent still in the shade of the moon. Impatient fly.
Janis Baller Group, their Midnight Voyage on the Coctonation. Next week on the show, we're going to be joined by a very, very special guest, a legend who I've run into quite a few times in the last 15 years in about some of the jazz clubs across Sydney. His name is James Morrison. He's a wonderful guy, good friend of the Coctonation, so we'll bring you a special interview and talk of his new album next week. I'm going to leave you with Lenny D now and China Boy. Stay hip. Oh,